Hello and welcome back to the Lee Summit Town Hall Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. Liesl Hayes is off on vacation. I think she's cruising the seas somewhere this week. She'll be back for next week's episode. Just a reminder, this podcast is brought to the good people of Lee Summit by our good friends at Budget Blinds of Lee Summit. They are awesome people running an awesome company right here in town. If you want any of your home decor stuff, I'm looking at my guests here today, guys. If you want to redecorate or whatever, these are the folks to go to, especially if you want those robot shades, like so you can tell Alexa, you know, hey, Alexa, open the blinds. Mm-hmm. These are the folks that do it because we all want robot shades.
Yeah.
Everybody want robot shades. So if you're ready to make your home a smart home, you go get those signature series shades. Those are the good ones. Go see Budget Blinds of Lee Summit right in downtown on Main Street. Tell them Nick and Liesl sent you. All right. Hey, this week we've got a fun episode. One of the things I love to do is talk to local business owners and talk to them a little bit about their business here in Lee Summit and why they do what they do and what they offer. So I have Dr. Alex Nelson and his wife, Dr. Lauren Nelson, with me from HML Functional Care.
Hello, hello.
And I'm gonna do a little bit of full disclosure here. Alex is also a client of mine in my other production business. He has a podcast. You should go check it out. It's the Dr. Alex Show. It's you know, he's a chiropractor by trade, but I think like one episode in two seasons you've actually talked about chiropractic.
Sounds about right.
So it's kind of a cool show because you're really just talking healthcare and self-care and different people throughout the wellness world. Look, you've gone international. You had a guest from Canada once.
Yeah.
So you can say it's an international show.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, look, I've always been curious about you guys because you are not Lee Summit natives.
No.
And we like to think of ourselves in this little hamlet as like, you know, we're just this quaint little country town of 100,000 people. we like to think of ourselves as a small town, and we talk about the people that have lived here forever. And I think for some reason we're always surprised, like, why are you here? What the heck drew you into, I guess, not just Kansas City, because it's my belief that Kansas City is the best kept secret in the country. But not just Kansas City, but in our little southern suburb of the metro. How did you guys end up here?
Well, we met in school, in chiropractic school. I was living in Dallas at the time, and Alex was going to the one here in Kansas City, and we met in Vegas.
Oh, that's a love story. or a story you can't tell on this podcast.
No, it was at a seminar. It was at a seminar, and we had mutual friends. And as a student at a seminar, you just kind of stick with the other students and go out to eat and whatnot. So we stayed in touch, and then I either lost my ID or got it pickpocketed out of me. So getting on the airplane was like fun. And he reached out, was like, hey, are you okay? Did you get? And so then we just started
solid
talking.
Move. Yeah. Yep. That was a strong move.
Yep. Yeah. So we stayed in touch. And then he was living with his brother and sister-in-law at the time. And they had a child, Hadley. And I mean, she's like 12 now. She's not a child. But nope. He was like the uncle. What's the Full House uncles? Joey and Jesse. So.
All right. Wait. I'm going to ask you first, and then I'm going to ask her to see who agrees. Were you Joey or Jesse?
I was Joey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not that cool to be Jesse.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we were deciding on where to live, I was like, well, I can't leave Hadley. Like, so, because they had a cool bond.
Yeah, I still do, but it was that typical fun uncle and niece bond. We would just hang out and do just about everything.
So family was here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was the only niece or nephew at the time. So that was an easy.
Right.
Easy.
Yeah. Yep. Family was here. And I guess I still had to finish up school.
Yeah. You had like, I think 4 months left or something like that. 3 or 4 months, like a trimester, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 3.5.
This is going to be a little like dig into the background of what chiropractic is and stuff. So because it's so different from, you know, I went to communications journalism school, right? They don't teach us how to run a business. But it seems like part of your schooling is, yeah, you're done with here and then you're going to go open a business. I mean, was that part of it?
Yeah, you get a couple business classes, but not a lot. They teach you the main thing about business, but then they tell you, like, here's the options. Like, you could go work for someone as, like, a contractor, associate, or you can open your own. And then, like, these are what those contracts might look like.
So did you guys know from the get-go that you wanted to set up your own practice?
Eventually. It wasn't right. We didn't want to do it right away, but we knew we wanted to have our own business.
Yeah. I don't think we had the wherewithal to even fathom running a business. I think that was the main thing.
Yeah.
I know I didn't in my, you know, early 20s getting out of school. Like, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm pushing 50 now, and I still think I accidentally run through, fall through this as a business owner.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there was just no thought of it. It was definitely, let's run off someone else's heels for a little bit.
So what... Maybe we'll start here. The name of your business doesn't actually say anything about chiropractic. And the little bit that I've learned from you as you've done your show is the term functional care means a lot more than, I mean, like most laymen, I hear chiropractic and I'm like, oh, you're going to pop my back. Mm-hmm. And I don't think much farther than that.
Right.
Right. So what all are you doing? Like, what does that encompass with functional care? What is your focus there?
You want to take it? So I guess by the law, our business is HMO Chiropractic and Functional Care LLC. But for simplicity, it's not to negate what we do as chiropractors. We just say functional care because that does help people take that initial clouding thought away from their minds, because what I'm about to say about the functional care piece, they don't listen to. So when they hear the chiropractor or chiropractic, their mind starts swirling and that's all they think about is backs getting cracked and popped and even other things that go along with the profession. So
all those fun neck popping videos I see on
all the TikTokification of it. Yeah. So the functional care piece is what some people might call integrative care. But in my opinion, fun fact, that integrative care piece is getting to be overused in a way, and it's not being well understood. So what we mean by functional care is we are trying to do things to your health to increase your functionality so you can go live a happier and healthier life. And that main piece is functional medicine, which is clinical nutrition. We like to run advanced lab testing and give supplements and nutritional advice and just lifestyle advice to get people to make better decisions to help live a happier and healthier life with various chronic issues, mainly kids. Or the neurology piece, which is what we really love, and that is helping strengthen underperforming areas of the brain so that that person can live happier and healthier. And we work on brains that are dealing with all sorts of issues. So it can be kids with neurodevelopmental disorders, ADHD, autism, dyslexia, or it can be adults, post-stroke care. It can be concussion care, dizziness, vertigo. And then there's the chiropractic side of things. Our chiropractic care, I like to think, is more encompassing. Mm-hmm. We offer a lot more than just get on the table and pop, crack, twist, do our thing, get you out. And there's a few other odds and ends, but that's what we like to do. And we have lots of tools and gadgets and gizmos to throw at our patients so we can just get the most out of them.
I want to get to the kids part here in a second, but tell me if I'm wrong from what I've learned just listening to you do your show we've got to know each other over the last couple of years. Part of that, you said integrative, part of that is you're also working, you try to work with people and their other healthcare providers, their other doctors and such, just to kind of provide a connection and mm-hmm. a place to, yeah. to work all, have all those things work together. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, probably this morning, the best example is we had the lungs in. The world already knows about the lungs because we had Justin on.
Oh, okay. It's like Alex.
So Justin.
I saw the look of fear of it. Don't give that out.
Yeah, Justin doesn't mind. But Yeah. I mean, you can talk about them. They run the local behavioral center that we work with.
Yeah, they run an ABA clinic called SOS Success on the Spectrum. My friend Amelia and her husband, Justin. Justin's my friend, too, but I know him from Amelia. Anyways.
Okay. You can choose sides.
I'm Switzerland. What was it? They own that business, but they also have a son with autism. And so we will do some sensory motor stuff and give suggestions on, like, hey, you guys could do this in your clinic while to do part of, like, for his plan while he's, because he does ABA therapy at their place as well. So we try to incorporate it in some of his therapies at SOS as well.
What is ABA?
It's applied behavior analysis. So usually a lot of kids on the spectrum go to like an ABA center.
Well, let's talk a little bit, because you do focus on kids.
Yeah.
I got most chiropractors that I've met before are like, I'm going to work with athletes, or if they're kids, they're high school athletes or whatever. And I know some that have worked a lot with, you know, in that physical therapy. And I know there are differences. I don't want to start any fights, because I know a physical therapist too, and y'all get kind of. But I mean, so I don't know as many that have the main focus really has been kids. And specifically, you work with a lot of kids who are on the spectrum and have some of those other either behavioral or neuro issues that they have to deal with. And I'm being very careful about not locking in. I live in the autistic world too. Mm-hmm. But so I don't want to like pigeonhole anybody, but your focus has been kids.
Mm-hmm.
Has it always been that?
Not at first with Alex. Like it wasn't something. When did we graduate? 12 years ago? 10 years? 11 years ago?
11.
It wasn't something that was completely mainstream, quote unquote. I don't know. Back in the day. And it just so happened to happen over time. Like a family would have a kid with autism and no one could really work with the kid, meaning like adjust them or didn't have patience. And so you take 5 minutes extra with the kid. And it get them familiar, comfortable with the adjustment. And then the parents have a good experience. The kid has a good experience. And then that just kind of goes on with a trickle effect. And then it asks for questions like, hey, what could I do with this? Or for them, what could we do for them? And then that required more of us having to do schooling or more school. You know, and it just one thing led into another.
Do you remember, like, was there a moment or a thing that kind of, like, do you remember what started to get you more and more curious about working with those kids? Like, was there a patient or a moment in time that was kind of like, I really want to dig into this?
Your patient with the cube?
Yeah. Wyatt?
Oh, but he was in school, right? Or you were in school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think it was God whispering in my ear in school, kids. But when I was in clinic, some good friends of ours referred in a patient, and his name's Wyatt, and was Wyatt. And with that, Wyatt was having a few issues that we got hashed out, and I had to have special permission to even do any of this in clinic on campus. But because I... quote, according to him, and this will make sense in a second, according to him, I thought outside the box to help him. I basically did things and asked for forgiveness later is what I did. Because I thought outside the box for him, he got in trouble. The straw that broke the camel's back for him was he got in trouble in school because he had to do this project with tinfoil. And then after the tinfoil was done, the teacher said, turn it in. Well, the teacher just had enough of him at that point. And because he took it and he turned into a cube and he stuffed it in his pocket to take it home to bring to me. And the teacher had enough of him at that point, but he got it to me and he says, I stole this from school. Thanks for thinking outside the box and helping me. And it's sitting on the shelf at the office right now.
That's kind of cool.
Yep.
So your inspiration is that a kid broke the rules for you?
Not bad. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Got to be a little bit of a maverick, I think.
Is that going to carry over to your own son? Will you be as proud if he becomes the Maverick?
I could see some of that.
Possibly, depending on what.
Yeah, I could see some of that.
So what, you know, what were you doing with him that was kind of outside the, was it, I guess really what I'm more curious about it, is, was it for you that made you want to delve in? Was it that you saw you could kind of do things a little differently?
And no one was helping.
And no one was helping.
So it's like, if not them, then who?
This was a thing where, you know, the family was kind of lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that when he brought that to you, was that kind of like, oh, maybe we're onto something? Was it that kind of moment?
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I had to do things and ask for forgiveness later is because I was doing an exam on him and treatment that no one on campus understood. And it's not to say I was smarter than those clinicians. It's just because I took the time to learn about all this. So I did a neuro-based exam and some treatments to help regulate his brain more efficiently, to help him sit still, pay attention, make sure he doesn't wet the bed anymore, things like that. And it ended up helping him. So when he came, when, like Lauren said, no one else was doing anything, a lot of this is actually, as one really good patient of ours currently, still very good patient, the mother says, it's you guys are driven by righteous anger. Because sometimes these families come in and they're just not getting help. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, why has this been missed? And why has this not been addressed? And what's going on here? And so part of it's that too.
You like finding maybe what other people haven't found?
I hate to say it, but in a satisfying way. But it's only because we finally get the answers to the family.
Yeah. Is it a puzzle to you?
Yes.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Are you the same, Lauren?
He does a lot more of the exams than I do. I do more of the therapy with the kids.
Lauren is 10 times better with kids than me.
Yeah.
She doesn't hesitate. She's like, yeah, it's true.
But I don't like doing... I like doing an exam to an extent, but I don't like doing the whole exam, where he has more patience for the exam. So if it's not like what you think is going on, and that's not showing that, like, hey, that's where you need to focus on, and you're going to take a left instead of a right, he knows when to do that. And I'll be like, oh, like, what else can I look at? You know?
You'll take your time longer on the decision.
No, well, I guess, but he knows, he studies more of the neurology than I do, and so he knows more of, like, the exam findings and interpretation, where I'm like, I know, like, I'm seeing something, I just know, I know a lot, don't get me wrong, but he knows way more than I do. He studies, like, every day, almost every day, like, at 4:30 in the morning. And he's taken more courses than I have. So, that also helps.
Well, and the beauty is Lauren learns by kind of working backwards. So when a kid comes in and they have just not textbook findings that we're used to finding over and over again, I say, this is going on and this is going on. It's causing them to do this. She's like, oh, cool. And then she'll just completely deduce all the way back to the beginning of what that means for that kid. So give her the results, and then she'll have the kid doing what she needs the kid to be doing, certain exercises or whatever it is, and then she'll understand from there. So what...
Kind of a deconstruction.
Yeah. Yeah. So she'll deconstruct, and what her understanding is of it, she gets in 5 seconds, while it takes me years.
How long did it take you guys to kind of figure out that interplay together? You know, to be able to share the workloads like that, but yeah, to get to the results you want.
Oh, not too long.
No, I think, like a lot of things, actually, in our relationship, it just kind of organically went that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of organically went that way. I mean, and it makes a lot of sense. Like, today is her, like, today is a good example of a challenging day for Lauren. All the hard kids. Screaming their head off, whining, just very challenging, very difficult, nonverbal, all of the hard stuff. Don't put me in the room with those kids. It's not that I don't want to. It's just I won't get anything out of them. I can't do it. I think in the end, if with more practice, I could, but not while I got a rock star. So,
well, and patience is the wrong word there. Patience is part of it, but it doesn't encompass everything that you need to deal with those kids, right? I mean, because you have to have patience to let them do the things that they're going to do, whether, you know, whether it's tantrums or, you know, they can't focus on one thing or you.
How to redirect.
Right. Yeah. It takes a lot of patience just to do that, but then also you're just, there isn't an innate talent, I think, that some people have to go past that and then actually work through it. And it's a hard thing to develop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like everything else, I guess, an acquired skill, but she excels.
Did it come naturally? Or is that something you've worked?
Oh gosh.
I mean, I know you always have to work on it, but well, I mean, I have grown up with, and I still lives with me, a severely autistic sister. So like I've been around it, and I've been around the schools, and there are some people that are just.
Well, I'm laughing amazing. Because my mom will always laughs at me that I work with kids because growing up, I never wanted to have kids. I never wanted to babysit. I had no interest with kids. Like when I was a waitress, I would pay the hostess not to sit kids in my section. and then
that's awesome.
Didn't feel like I think half of it was because I didn't know how to act around a kid and I didn't know what to say to the kid or just, and I didn't grow up with younger kids around or that much of a difference with the younger kids. So, one day I was working at an ABA center and it was my first job right off chiropractic school because I was still, passing boards and whatnot. And then we scheduled our wedding on one of my boards. So that delayed stuff. Anyways. So I was working with these kids and I was like, is this what I want to do? But then like after a couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, you know what? These kids, they just kind of say whatever. Cause I wanted a geriatric practice.
They're just grown up kids.
Yes. Yes. And they say what's ever on their mind. And I'm like, I think it, you know, I like stories of our elderly population. I like listening to them. But then whenever I worked in one of those, I did an internship. I was like, man, they take forever. Like they take forever. Sorry guys. But when I would work with the kids, I was like, yeah, they still say whatever's on their mind and they've got more energy. So that's pretty cool. I think this kid's not that bad, you know? And then it just kind of like was peeling away or chipping away a rock, so to speak, for me. And then, one thing led to another where I started working with them and I did it well. So, yeah.
It's always nice when you discover something. It's like, hey, I'm good at that.
Yeah. Like, they're not that bad. What was I thinking? Yeah. Children.
I think it's easier working with, at this point, I know for me, it's easier working with kids than adults in general. I would love to just see kids all day than work on adults. And not that I'm not saying I'll never work on adults, just
they've got more years, of course, than a kid, you know. So there's just more systems that can be wrong.
Well, yeah. And adults have more practice at being devious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yes. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they unintentionally don't tell you what they need to tell and it's like, oh yeah. That would have been helpful.
Well, and I'll say on a general principle too. Like, so I do a project every year where I work with teens, students in the area, and they do their own podcast. And it's really cool. Like they come up with their own topics. They host it. I mean, I always tease them and tell them like, look, I'm only here. I'm going to hit the record button. The rest is you guys. I mean, I'll help you and coach you, but it's all you. And it's fun. And you know, the line I always say is, man, at the end of the season, I'm always like, yeah, let's just give them the keys. They're better than we are.
Well, and then their ideas are more fresh anyways.
Yeah, I think there's a untainted outlook.
Yeah.
Or maybe only partially tainted, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we all have our, you know, whatever, our natural biases just from where we grew up. But, like, it's just kind of cool. And I think you can talk to them and get, You can ask a question and they will answer you most of the time pretty truthfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not scared that you're going to tell their parents or whatever, right? You know what I mean? Like, if they feel safe and comfortable, they will answer just about any question and give you an honest answer, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I would assume that that's kind of the same way for you guys.
Yeah.
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 Although I will say with the autistic kids, a lot of times you are always getting the honest answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It might be harder for them to express it, but you're getting unfiltered honesty.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. 100%.
So, you know, how you guys, and I just know this that from listening to you, Alex, that you get a lot of people from the area. But then you're also like, how are you getting to the point too where you're getting calls from people from, you know, all over?
Some of it's referrals from.
This is where you say, because you give me this awesome podcast, Nick.
That's true. I'm just kidding. People have found us because of the podcast.
Some of it's Instagram, and then some of it, we've got some friends, colleagues that they'll work with a patient and they're not getting the patient to where they would like. And so they'll call us and be like, hey, do you think you guys could do something?
It seems, and look, I mean, of all the chiropractors I've met in my life, I think I know you better than any of us. So you're my window in, but it seems like it's a pretty collaborative industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's not as big of, ego.
And we've heard that before from a medical doctor too, where we were stumped on a patient, and so Alex reached out to other colleagues that had the same training background as him, and they gave him some ideas. Hey, don't forget to look at this, this, and this. And he's like, that would have never happened in my profession.
Which is nuts to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to believe that doctors will talk to each other. And
yeah. And I'm sure they do now, but that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So it might be shifting.
I'm sure it's getting better now, but something I found is, so some people, like young students are afraid of it. They're afraid of medical doctors as a chiropractor or other professionals, because they think medical doctors sit up on a pedestal. So part of it is this, they're up there type of thing, and they're huge in the field, and they're kind of running the healthcare system, right? And the thing that I found is they're no smarter and they're no better or worse of a person than you are. But when you reach out and say, hey, I'm seeing this patient and I want to get on the phone with you to talk about them so we can figure out some things, 100% of the time, without fail, they are relieved, they're excited, they're refreshed, and they're ready to talk, as long as you can make the time thing work, because time is their most precious commodity. They absolutely love it. And it, like Lauren said, it happens all the time, even if it's just an email, constantly emailing other providers about their kids, and they just love it. Absolutely love it. They always say it's not done enough.
Do you feel like not being, and I don't want to get into make this a therapy session, but because there is a removal between the medical doctors and the chiropractor doctor, like it seems like you guys kind of live in different worlds sometimes. Mm-hmm. But do you think you get a little bit different perspective and access because you're able to look at it from the outside sometimes?
That and our schooling was kind of went down, both of our schoolings went differently. They were taught to not think a certain way, don't get me wrong, but go down these roads first. And for us, we were taught to go down these roads first.
And so it's just a matter of perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember one of your previous shows, I think from this season, where you were talking to a couple about their special needs child. And I think they're on the West Coast.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one is a naval medical officer.
Yep.
And I remember there was a line in that where he said, "It was really hard for me to call you because here I am, a trained doctor, and I'm calling you."
Yeah.
But I mean, it just was an interesting setup to that whole conversation. And I don't know, it just stuck out to me.
It, you know, in that family, in the Christians gave us carte blanche. That's their name, the Christians. You can look them up. That they love sharing their story, and they love their boy to pieces, and they love how far they've gotten him, and they want to just share any details. So Brianna and Matt Christian, it more thanks goes out to them for reaching across the aisle, if you will, and
trusting
yeah. And actually from man to man, kudos to Matt for Dr. Matt Christian for putting that ego aside and listening to some chiropractor in the Midwest about what he might be able to, he and his wife might be able to do for his kid.
And she's a medical professional too, right? Did I hear
yeah,
that
she's
right?
She's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And of all things, a trained NICU nurse.
Yeah.
So she sees some very sick children.
I imagine like the all of you together, that's a lot of medical jargon just getting tossed around. And I would follow like 1%.
It was getting pretty
heady. The
boys
like to nerd out.
I was gonna say, I would think there'd be a lot of medical nerdery happening in those conversations.
It wasn't as bad this go around. They, very blessed to say, they bring their boy to us once a year now. And they came for a week, and we had them for dinner at our place. It wasn't as bad this time.
Yeah, Alex and Matt will nerd out if they can.
Oh yeah, and then the kids will be crying and no one will be asleep, and it'll go into the wee hours of the night otherwise. So,
well, it sounds like you guys get pretty tight with your patients too. That it's just, you know, relationship is important as part of that.
Yeah.
Care.
Yeah.
It's hard not to. I think.
Yeah, and I think that also comes with part of healing.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of it is the healing process is naturally the parents are coming in and they're just stressed to the gills. And if they just, whether it's us or our staff, just need a soundboard and they're just yakking on about whatever they need to yak on about, people end up getting close to us. And there's, quote, boundaries that get crossed, as you would learn in school. But at this point, we're like, meh.
Why do you think that? Yeah, I liked what you said there, though, Lauren, that's part of healing.
Healing, yeah.
Expand on that a little bit.
Oh, I think it's like not an innate thing. It just comes natural when you're working with someone that has stuff that they can't figure it out just quite yet. And part of healing is their environment, so they have to trust you too. So if you're not creating a trusting space, so to speak, then it's hard for them to completely let their guard down and allow healing.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
I've always been curious about that. And I think I was most curious about it when my wife went through her cancer treatments. Like, the patients are required to be at their most vulnerable.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Like, everything is out there, physically, mentally, emotionally. Mm-hmm. It's all like, how do you not reciprocate that as a caregiver? And I was always curious because there are some doctors who are robots.
Yeah, are very stoic.
And
yeah.
Then there are some that, you know, can walk that line a little bit. I mean, I will say her oncologist was absolutely amazing. The story I always tell is every time she met her in the office, the first words out of her mouth were, "How may I be of service to you today?"
Oh, that's cool. I think part of it too, so I did my internship at the Cancer Treatment Center, and because they had like holistic healing too. Yeah. They had like a bunch, and you all were like a team basically. But the reason why the owners opened up a Cancer Treatment Center of America was because his mom had cancer at one point, and he didn't care for how the staff was treating his mom. So their whole motto was treat everyone like it's your mother. So it's like, if you treat everyone like it's your family, and I guess I also kind of took that away. Like, if you treat them like it's your family.
That's a great thing to take away from, especially from an internship.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Like, you never know what you're going to get out of an internship.
Yeah.
But I mean, to get that of care.
Yeah.
Like how to be of care and of service.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn amazing. And then I think too, like you guys deal with kids and special needs kids. How can you not just, you know, want to make them a part of your family
yeah.
and take care of them? I mean,
yeah.
And then you see the kids like, oh, this kid's my son's age, or this would have been my daughter's age, you know? So, these are their peers would have been their peers, you know? So it's just, you want them when they grow up to be as whole as they can be as well. So
I love that. I love that approach, that it's not just the science nerdery stuff.
Yeah.
It's we're going to be people. We're going to care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, sometimes people come in and this is more, I think it's more for the adults. Haven't had a kid like this in a while. For the adults, I'm just like, I don't really know what's going on. I got some things here and some things there. We're going to do it. If you want to do it, let's give it a try, give it a stab. And that's enough there for them. Because I think, like Lauren said, if you create that trusting environment and someone knows that they're here to try something and they don't know the answer, but they're willing to give it a shot, they, without knowing even 25% of the picture, they end up turning around and getting better.
Well, I would think that's what helps them give the other 75%, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because, look, we all have our story to tell, whatever doctor we go see, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to tell him. Yeah. I mean, it's like I had a doctor friend, you know, what's the joke? How many drinks a night do you have?
Yeah.
And it's always like, yeah, we're going to double that.
You add it or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like whatever answer the patient gives, we're doubling it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I would think that like just knowing that adult patients, we all have our story we're going to tell, and like just to create that space.
Sure. Right?
Like I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to work with you. Well, that'll convince me to tell you the rest of what's going on.
Yeah.
That I don't really want to tell you.
Yeah. 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 Or can you figure it out without having to know this part?
Right. I mean, because look, we don't want to tell all our, and I don't want to say secrets, but I mean.
Well, yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's not. Well, pretty, so to speak, sometimes, depending on what's going on with the person.
You don't want to be judged.
Yeah.
Well, and look, I have an irrational fear of doctors anyway. So, like, for me, it's always, if I tell him this, he's going to tell me the worst.
Yeah.
That's always my go-to answer at school when it was, like, test questions.
Just the worst answer possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's safe.
Someday I'll grow up and I will get over that fear. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, in my 50s, I will try to get over that fear. So that's why I have a year and a half left.
You've got time. You've got time.
Got a time.
We're good.
Got time. Well, let me ask this as we wrap things up. If people look, I know we kind of skipped around here. We didn't get to your whole story, but I promised some friends that I would not do 2-hour episodes. Where can people follow you? Where can they find HML? How can they follow along? How can they reach out to you?
HMLfunctionalcare.com is the website. At HML Functional Care is the social handle. And that's, we keep it simple, Facebook, Instagram. There is YouTube, but to be honest with you, we're slacking there, people. So stick to Instagram, Facebook. And
we're getting old. So technology is developing way too fast for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a lot of work. But the other thing, too, is the Dr. Alex Show, available everywhere you get your podcasts.
That's right. Even on YouTube, actually.
Even on YouTube.
Even on YouTube.
So you're not slacking there.
No. No, that's probably the biggest YouTube presence. And what the funny thing is one of our, I cannot think, it must have been in the last year and a half, someone had found us on YouTube randomly searching for their condition, and the show brought up, came up.
And it brought up a particular episode.
That's how I can say that the podcast has helped HMO Functional Care grow a little.
There you go. I appreciate you guys coming on and talking a little bit about your business and your story and stuff. But the thing when I've told people about your show, the thing I love is that like, it's just wellness and healthcare. And mm-hmm. It's people from all different parts of it. I mean, you had an ophthalmologist.
Ophthalmologist.
There's been
a therapist.
A doctor and a nurse with a, you know, with a special needs and telling their story. You've had a few people come on and tell their stories of their children and patients and I just like that it's a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah,
and really all about it. It goes back to what Lauren. Really, everything's gonna come back to you, Lauren.
I mean, I'm pretty right most of the time. 100% of time with 99.9 when it comes to Alex. There has been some times you were right.
That's
I love that.
The 0.1%.
It happens so seldom. I need to like note it in the phone type of thing. You know?
Keep that as a reminder.
Yes.
Yeah, but I like that it really is all just comes down to care. To just personal dealing with people and whether that's you, whether that's your guests, whether that's, you know, I just like that.
You know,
I like the human approach to things.
And without dragging this outro on too much, we even had our good friends, the Longs, in office this morning, and they said, you know, we plan on growing in a year, a new location, HML 2.0. And he goes, time to franchise. You need to franchise this system out. And I go, the problem is, Justin, we can't just franchise this care system. It's like trying to grow Cancer Treatment Centers of America. It starts with having caring faculty and staff, and then you can kind of put systems in place.
I would suggest starting by cloning Lauren.
I do have a twin.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
All right, we're going to have a part two episode.
Yes.
Lauren, Alex, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That'll wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time.